In this episode, Dr. Morten Irgens, who is the vice principal at Oslo Met, is talking about the future of AI in Europe and how we can position ourselves to ensure that we affect our future and are part of its destination. Hi, Morten. Thanks for coming over.
It's a pleasure. Anytime. Just call me.
Awesome. So I understood that you had a speech today about the future of AI in Europe.
Yes, that's correct.
Can you tell a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Now, you see, I started by talking about why we should care and why Europe should care about the development in the world on the technology side.
Technology in general or AI?
Well, I think that we shouldn't look at AI purely from an AI perspective. AI is a technology. No, it's not a technology. I'm completely wrong saying that. It's basically a long list of technologies. It's a research area that is not a research area, but many. But it's just yet another step in the technological development. So it's hard to say where AI starts and where AI ends. And AI, I mean, I should say that it's artificial intelligence, and it's a really bad name for a research for a list of technologies.
Really?
Why? It is, because it makes people think about things they shouldn't care about, because it's not what we're doing. It's not about a robot that can think and act like a human being.
Like the Terminator.
Yeah, no, or like a nice robot who's doing anything for you and in the home or go and shop for you and whatever. Today, artificial intelligence, AI, is basically narrow. We call it narrow AI. You know, it's 10 years since a human was able to beat the world's best chess program. 10 years ago. Before that, we thought playing chess was uniquely human. It was too creative. It required cognition. It required
strategy, knowledge about the game, and all of that. Well, but apparently it didn't.
It didn't. Apparently. No, it didn't. Not only apparently. It didn't. But that, if you ask that chess machine to do something else, like go and shop for you, or read a medical paper and tell you the content of it, it can't, of course. Every little application today that is doing fantastic, by every little application that has some AI core, can do something amazingly well and nothing else.
Just that specific thing.
Yes. So when you hear the word artificial intelligence, you think that there is somebody or something that can act and think like a human, and that is as versatile as a human and can reason and learn as a human. It's not the
Maybe
case.
A better word would be specific intelligence.
The great thing here is that we use the word intelligence in many ways when we talk as humans. We think about intelligence as being cognition, as intelligence being self-confidence. That's not the case. So this was a long little thing about why AI, artificial intelligence, is a really bad name for a really great field of research, or a really great many fields of research.
I understand.
And then, back to why Europe should care. You know, it's said that it's because technology is defining the reality we live in. That is the reason. We are all living and thinking and acting surrounded by technology. You know the story about the elderly fish that was swimming around in the water and met three young fishes? I don't know the plural of fish. Anyway, and the elderly fish was saying, "Hey guys, how's the water?" And the three younger fishes said, "What's water?" You know, hey, how's the technology? Our response is, what's technology? It's surrounding us everywhere, and we hardly notice. We notice when it doesn't work.
Absolutely.
But when it works, it becomes invisible to us. Now, back to why Europe should care. It's a long intro here, but very long
That's
intro.
That's fine, we have time.
Europe should care because this technology that surrounds us everywhere defines the way we think, what we talk about, how we work, how we play, how we talk with our kids, what we discuss over table, how we look at the universe and how we look at ourselves as human beings. A very simple example. Up through the ages, there's always been one defining technology who defines the way we look at the world. And the humans and the human mind and the human brain has sometimes been described as a network of viaducts. And then it became, electricity, and it became our brains are a telegraph system, and then it became, a computer, and etc. So technology defines the reality. And what I'm concerned about, and what I think Europe should be concerned about, is not only that the AI market might be huge.
Well, it could define how we live without our intervention.
Some people say that the best way of controlling the future is to create it. Well, Europe is leaving that creation of our future, shaping our future, to others. And to others that may be not so close to the way we like in Europe to organize our work life, our etc. So let's bring it back home.
And are you thinking about countries like US and China, who are world leading in AI?
Obviously, a machine learning system that's been trained on Chinese data might not work here at all. But that's just a very simple example. It goes deeper than that. So here's the thing. Let me tell you, what is the good, the bad, and the ugly of Europe in the AI area? Actually, I'm just going to tell you the good and the bad, not the ugly. Number one, the good. Europe's universities are strong, also in AI. Really. We have really good universities, and we have really good AI researchers. Number two, Europe is a research powerhouse, really. Our research community is larger than that in the United States and larger than that in China. So we have both the
brain power.
We have both the quality of the research, it's really high quality, and the quantity. So we have the brain power. Number three, Europe is a manufacturing powerhouse. Now, European manufacturers are among the largest global innovators. So that's the three good, really good starting position to create something good.
We have a lot of advantages.
Yes, but why
do we have those advantages? And are we utilizing them?
No, so then let's go. I'll just add that European... On the innovation side, we are also growing in the venture and entrepreneur side, which we used to be really bad at. And if you look at the world's most innovative countries, there are many ways to measure things. But if you look at indicators, European countries like Switzerland and Sweden and UK, Finland, Denmark are really, really strong innovators. So we are in a good position. So now I'm going to switch to the bad. Yeah.
That's the most important part.
Depends on your outlook at life, I guess.
Well, because we have to overcome that to utilize what's good about us.
So we are growing also in AI, innovation and research, but the others are moving faster. So Europe is adding an AI gap to its digital gap. Yeah. Now, United Kingdom is leaving the European Union. It's United Kingdom has the strongest AI performance in Europe. They have really strong university labs and industries in AI. Number three, bad thing is that Europe invests significantly less than the United States in major factors that increases the innovation capacity. We invest less in software and databases, less in intellectual property, less in competences like organizational capital and training, and less in startups. And Europe's research community, I was saying how great it is, but it's diffused, it's spread out. It's really spread out. So European companies are, European universities are, our capacity is just a lot of one-person guys and three-person guys, and I'm saying guys
sitting in disparate countries
here, and and then I believe that your EU's AI strategy is unclear. And I can add that when the European Commission should create its strategy, who should it talk with? There is not... Europe doesn't have an industry association AI. They don't have anybody to talk with. So I will get back to that, because I'm going to talk about an organization that I participated in establishing called CLEAR. But, you know, this is important. If you look at the number of AI researchers in the world, I would just count everybody that has published a journal article of the last 10 years. Yeah, count everybody. Then Europe has about, 45,000 AI researchers, if you call that AI, anybody who has published a paper in AI. While United States have 30,000 and China 20,000. So we have more. We have more.
But if you look at China and US accelerating there, because they're actually funding it.
Yeah, they are. But you know, and also there is a brain drain to the States from Europe. If you look at venture funding, it stood 2 years ago, but almost $18 billion in the States and $3 billion in Europe. So there you go. That's its problem. So that's why we created something a year and a half ago, an organization called CLEAR.
Okay.
CLEAR stands for the Confederation of AI Laboratories. Actually, Confederation of Laboratories of AI Research in Europe. And that is because when we saw that the European Commission had plans to pump in like 2 billion euros a year into AI innovation and AI research, we thought, and that as a part of a bigger picture where the objective of the Commission is to see a total funding of AI research and innovation in Europe of about 20 billion euros a year. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. And it's the coalition of a lot of different countries?
Well, that is national funding, commission funding, private funding, governmental funding, etc. But it's so many ways this money could be spent wrong. So we established CLEAR as an AI research network. It has... more than 3,000 individual AI researchers. The best AI scientists in Europe are members. And more than 300 research groups and labs and institutes in AI that organizes more than 19,000 AI scientists or scientists. With that base, we say that what Europe needs... Well, we don't have all the answers, but we believe that Europe's AI strategy should be excellence across all of AI. Machine learning, machine reasoning, vision, you know, et cetera, everything. But we also say for all of Europe, we need to find a way to mobilize all these companies, innovators, and researchers that are spread across Europe. And we believe it should have a human-centered focus. So that's what we want. And how do we do that? We believe that Europe should establish a central hub. That sounds... What is that? You know CERN in Switzerland? Mostly known for its particle accelerator. Yeah. It's a beacon for the world. The research done there and what is done in everything that CERN is doing has the attention from the whole world.
Absolutely. It's also a privilege.
So we believe that Europe needs a CERN for AI. So that's a hub where the best and brightest and also a lot of programs for early stage researchers, etc., can come, spend 3 months, 3 years working on exciting projects and go back to the research environment. We also believe there should be a network of centers of excellence in AI. And I think Europe needs a beacon. You know, why do so many AI researchers, AI scientists, leave Europe to start working in Amazon, Google, Apple, etc.? Is it for the money? Because the money is great. It's not for the money primarily. You know, these are scientists, researchers who live and breathe for the research. Mm. And they get the opportunity to work on something really cool on a great grand scale.
Mm.
And they don't find it in Europe. It's not here. We need to create that beacon, which becomes a gravity well for scientists from all over the world to come to Europe and participate in something exciting. And that will then drive up both science, research, and innovation in Europe. I also believe that the European AI strategy should make sure that it should leave the triple helix model behind. What is the triple helix model? Well, it's the following. It's looking at innovation happening between three sectors: industry, academia, and the public sector. Mm. And the public sector basically is paying for the long
two.
Yeah, they're paying for the long term research in academia. So there is an idea that academia is doing all this great research, and then hands it over to a grateful industry who takes it and runs with it and create products out of it.
So if we take just a 5 or 10 year perspective,
this triple helix model is kind of old fashioned.
Mm.
You know, you need to bring in two more components. You need to bring in venture capital investors, and you need to bring in entrepreneurs. Mm. Then you have what you call a pentahelix model, 5 components: industry, government, academia, entrepreneurs, and investors.
Mm.
Now you bring that together, which Europe hasn't been that good at, and create real research and innovation ecosystem, then something will start to you know, something will happen.
Mm.
Something will cook.
So we'll create an ecosystem,
yes,
of the necessary components.
Yes. CLEAR is a poor organization, and we don't have any money. And it's really bottom-up scientist-based, researcher-based organization who basically says, we are raising a flag here.
Mm.
And we're saying we have something to give to the process of developing the strategy. And if national governments and the commission and others are interested, we can really contribute to create a great future for Europe. Now, what does that mean? Well, that's a political discussion that others will participate in. But we can really deliver. I should add that nine governments in Europe has released support letter saying that we support CLEAR and its vision.
Mm.
Now, the next thing we need to do is to get, you know, about 20 more governments to support us and the Commission, and we can help in delivering this vision.
That seems quite plausible, to be honest, because as you say, this is something which we do need.
Yeah.
And I bet a lot of people that are listening to the podcast are quite interesting to learn more about CLEAR. How do they do that?
Well, you go to www.clear-ai.org, or you search Google CLEAR, C-L-A-I-R-E, and artificial intelligence, and I think you get there. So,
that's perfect.
But you know, go there, sign up, and we're creating a fantastic network of AI researchers in Europe. Right now, we are collaborating with the Commission with input to their work on creating a public-private partnership in AI.
That's perfect. Thanks a lot, Martin, for having the time to come over.
It's a pleasure.